Let's all stand for the reading of the scripture. It's Romans 7, 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. You may be seated. This is Dispensationalism versus Christian Identity Theology, Part 4. I'll reread the scripture, putting in what I think the pronouns and a couple of the words refer to. Wherefore, my brethren, ye, referring to Israelites, also are become dead to the law of marriage by the dead body of Christ, that ye, also referring to Israelites, should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead. That's Jesus, the Passover Lamb. That we, Israelites, should bring forth fruit unto God. Well, who was the Apostle Paul's brethren? It's written to his brethren. Paul said in the Holy Scriptures that he was of the tribe of Benjamin, of the kingdom of Judah, Israel. It's Philippians 3, 6. So his brethren would be those of the tribes of Israel. He also predicted in these verses that his brethren would become dead to the marriage law and would be remarried to the resurrected Christ. This cannot be applied to anyone else besides Israel, for they were the ones that were married to him previously. One can only be remarried if they had been married once before. Christianity is not a religion with no disagreements. It is full of them, with many of the controversies presenting opposite and contradictory viewpoints. Today, there are so many different churches with so many divergent beliefs that most of these organizations could no longer accurately be called Christian. In fact, there are very few churches that are Christian today. Many of them fail to teach what the churches used to teach centuries ago and are completely ignorant of it. For example, throughout the church's history, there have been four various views regarding the book of Revelation. The first is the idealist view. It teaches that Revelation describes in symbolic language the battle throughout the ages between God and Satan and good against evil. The second is the preterist view. It teaches that the events recorded in the book of Revelation were largely fulfilled in AD 70 with the fall of the Jerusalem temple. The third is historicist view. Teaches that the book of Revelation is a symbolic presentation of church history beginning in the first century AD through the end of the age. The prophecies of Revelation are fulfilled in various historic events, such as the fall of the Roman Empire, the Protestant Reformation, and the French Revolution. The fourth is the futurist. It teaches that Revelation prophesizes events that will take place in the future. These events include the rapture of the church, 7 years of tribulation upon the Jews, and a millennial, that's a 1,000-year rule of Christ upon the earth. During the tribulation will be the marriage supper of the Lamb with the church. During the millennial will be the remarriage of the Jews with Almighty God. This is the most popular of the four different views now in Christendom. Today's sermon will be an investigation of who will be the bride or brides and who will be the groom or grooms in the upcoming wedding or weddings. Here is a timeline of the end times of the dispensationalist or the futurist view. This is the present. And there is where we're at now. So what are they awaiting? They're awaiting the secret rapture of the church. So Christ will come, take the church out, and the church will be up here in heaven for 7 years. This 7 years is the last 7 years of Daniel's 70-year prophecy. The Antichrist then comes on the scene, makes a covenant with the Jews. In the middle of the seven-year period is the abomination of desolation. And they say that's when the Antichrist sacrificed the swine on the altar of the new temple they built. Then he pours out his wrath on the Jews. So this last 3.5 years, a lot of Jews will be converted. Well, during the 7 years is when the church is married to Jesus Christ. After the 7 years, Christ comes back down to the earth, and then we have, he takes care of the Antichrist, all that business, and then we have the millennial, 1,000-year reign, with the church and the Jews. During the millennium is when God remarries the Jews. When that's over, another battle, final judgment, and then we have eternity. That is dispensationalism. Now, I talked about dispensationalism and the marriage suppers. He was born in 1936. He died in 2019. His name is Renard N. Showers. Was a world-renowned professor, theologian, and author who was a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary, which is the hubbub of dispensationalism, who served with the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry for more than 30 years. He retired shortly before he died on April 4, 2019, and I have a picture of him. He wrote an article called The Marriage and the Marriage Supper of the Lamb, and here is his introduction. Where will the church be during the 70th week of Daniel 9, the last 7 years prior to the second coming of Christ, which has been popularly called the tribulation period? Several things presented in the book of Revelation indicate that the church will be in heaven with Christ during that time period. One of these things is the marriage and marriage supper of the Lamb. I make a comment to his article, and I say, what church would that be that is raptured in heaven with Christ? Is it the Lutheran, the Methodist, the Baptist, the Pentecostal, the Roman Catholic, the Orthodox Catholic, Plymouth Brethren, Amish, Mennonite, Presbyterian, Episcopal, Anglican, Church of Christ, Crossroads, Vineyard, Lakewood, Arminian, Integrated, Calvinistic, Dispensational, and etc., etc. They just say it's the rapture of the church. Do you think that the Fellowship of God's Covenant People may be one of the churches that are raptured? But maybe it's none of them. I'll go back to his article. The Old Testament teaches that God betrothed the Jews, bound the Jews to himself as his wife, through the Mosaic Covenant at Mount Sinai. But the Jews repeatedly broke the covenant through spiritual adultery. God divorced the Jews, but not permanently. He did not regard the divorce as a termination of his marriage with the Jews. He gave a lot of scriptural references. Notice he gave a lot of Hosea references, as well as Jeremiah and Isaiah. I made a comment about that second paragraph that he made. Christian identity teaches that God did not divorce the Jews, for he was never married to him. One can't divorce someone whom he was never married to. The Lord didn't divorce the entire Israelite nation either, but he divorced the house of Israel and eventually much of the house of Judah. There had to be at least a very small remnant of the kingdom of Judah that was not divorced. for Jesus to be not only born, but to eventually become the lawful king for the second time. Now back to Mr. Shires, who continues. God has been judging the Jews for its adultery. Through this judgment, he will stop the Jews' unfaithfulness, calm his fury, and lose his jealousy and anger. When the Jew repents in the future at the second coming of Christ, God will cleanse the Jewish nation, love it freely, and betroth it to himself forever through the establishment of an everlasting covenant. I make another comment on this third paragraph. Christian Identity believes that God has never loved and will not ever love the Jewish people. For the Bible says that God hates Esau, for Esau despised the covenant and married interracially. Esau's mixed-race children were not a part of the everlasting covenant. Now we go back to Mr. Shower's fourth paragraph. The Jews will be adorned like a bride. God will delight in and rejoice over Jerusalem as a groom rejoices over his bride. And the land of the Jew will be married to God. Thus at the second coming, God and the Jew will go through betrayal, betrothal, and marriage a second time, and then their marriage supper will take place during the millennium after the second coming. My comment on this paragraph. So Mr. Showers says that God will be remarried to the Jew in the millennium after his son's second coming. Will that be the Ashkenazis, or the Sephardic, or the Mizrahi, or the Hasidic, or the Ethiopian? Or will it be the Reformed, the Conservative, the Orthodox, or the Messianic, or any other kind of Jews, or are they all of them collectively? I show you again. The church is raptured out. There's where the church is married to Jesus Christ. There's the second coming of Christ. And then God marries the Jew during the millennium. Two marriages, the church and the Jews. We go on. The late Reynold N. Showers has equated Israel and Jews and quotes them as being synonyms of each other. He referenced the prophet Hosea and misapplied what Hosea said about the house of Israel, saying that was instead the entire nation of Israel, or in his interpretation, the Jews. Christian Identity believes that Hosea taught that it was the house of Israel that was divorced by God. Now, the house of Israel is 5/6. That's 83%. Of the entire nation of Israel. That's over 8 out of 10. And was scattered for its unfaithfulness to God's commandments. But the house of Israel contained the birthright through Joseph and his sons. Genesis 48:17-19. And when Joseph saw that his father, that's Jacob, laid his right hand upon the hand of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, "Not so, my father, for this Manasseh is my firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head." But his father refused and said, "I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed," that's Ephraim's seed, "shall become a multitude of nations. Did this occur? If it did occur, when did Ephraim become a multitude of nations? What nations were or are they? One tribe of Israel was to become a multitude of nations, and the mainstream church doesn't know the identification of these nations. The house of Israel plus the house of Judah equals the kingdom of Israel, or the kingdom of God. Israel and the Jews are not interchangeable, but are two very different peoples. They have been ardent enemies of each other, each with different name changes for multi-millennia. But this late world-renowned professor said that the Jews and God will be the bride and groom who will be remarried after the wedding of the church, and it's a multiracial church now, and Jesus Christ. Is this true? Well, now I'll talk about dispensationalism and Jew and Gentile. The three main religions of the world, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, all go back to Abraham or Abram. All three trace at least a part of their ancestors to Abraham, but not all three are pure descendants of Abraham. The first, the people of the religion of Islam, are Muslims, were not the descendants of Abraham and Sarah, but Abram and Hagar. They were not of the covenant seed. Esau married into their line in one of his marriages. Israel, or Christians, are the pure descendants of Abram and Sarah. They are the covenant seed of their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Jews are an adulterated seed of Abraham. They trace their lineage from Esau, who racially intermarried into the line of the evil Canaanites in at least two of his marriages. The son of Cain and the Canaanites are the ancient ancestors of this evil seed line. In MorningView.org, Sean Matthews said, quote, "There will be a mass conversion of Israelites," and he means Jews, "in the last days," unquote, which agrees with what the Scofield Bible advocates. Scofield's notes first appeared just 114 years ago in the year 1909. It has made a mockery of what the Bible teaches, as it consistently interchanges Israel and Jews instead of keeping them separate and distinguished. For the Jews will never be converted at any time. Even at the end of the 7-year tribulation period, there will be no glorious conversion of the Jewish people. They are enemies of our God, who murdered his son and rejected all his teachings. The descendants of the offspring of the viper hated not only the Messiah of Israel, but they hated his apostles and they hated all that follow him. Clarence Larkin. Clarence Larkin, another famous dispensationalist, agrees with the other Jesuit followers, for he says that the church is a mystery. Quote, "From this we see that the church was unknown to the Old Testament patriarchs and prophets, that the Gentiles," that's, he means non-Jews, "were to be saved was no mystery," Romans 9, 24 through 30. The mystery was that God was going to form an entirely new thing composed of both Jew and Gentile to be called the church. It's a quote from the Blue Letter Bible, chapter 11, part two, part one, eternal purpose. Larkin and Schofield also agree with Mr. Showers, the author that I quoted at the beginning of the sermon, that there are two brides mentioned in the scriptures, one in the Old Testament and the other in the New Testament. The one in the Old Testament is Israel, or the Jews, as they would say, the bride of Jehovah. The one in the New Testament is the church, which is some Jews and mostly Gentiles, the bride of Christ. Two marriage suppers, two marriages, given at two different times, with two different brides, with two different grooms. Well, sort of, for a few of the Jews are the bride of Christ, while the rest of them are the bride of his father. The dispensationalists tell their listeners that it is the weddings of the Father and the Son. I got a question. But where is the house of Israel? That's only 5 out of 6 of the nation of Israel in all of this. The dispensationalists omit almost all the people of Israel because they omit the house of Israel. Which marriage partner do the dispensationalists say that the house of Israel will have, or do they say that they will be married at all? Dispensationalism. I got a little chart here. The Old Testament, the bride is the Jews. The New Testament is the church. Well, the Messianic Jews and many Gentiles are in the church. The groom is God the Father, and the groom in the New Testament is God the Son. The time of the wedding supper, it's kind of messed up, isn't it? It's after the second coming of Christ. During the millennium, the second marriage, and the other one is after the rapture of the church during the 7-year tribulation. Dispensationalists mean by Jew the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They mean by Gentile everyone else who is not a Jew. But I ask you, what do they call the house of Israel? Is that a Jew or is that a Gentile or what? Church marries Christ, the Jews marry God the Father. Christian identity theology. Let's look at this chart that shows a few of the first descendants of Abram or Abraham. Well, Abraham had Ishmael. They became the Arabs and the Muslims. They had 6 other sons after Sarah died, and then Abraham had Isaac, Esau, and Jacob. Esau married into the other line, the people, and he became the Jews, and Jacob became Israel. Israel became the house of Israel and the house of Judah eventually. The house of Israel was divorced, and the house of Judah was saved by his mercy. And from the house of Judah, you got the incarnate Son of God born. Remember, dispensationalism had its beginning with the writings of a Catholic Jesuit priest. One of the Jesuit priests, Francisco Ribera, who, like all the original members of that society, was Jewish and was an adversary of our God. In 1585 AD, he published a commentary on Babylon and the Antichrist that taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Ribera's purpose married the one purpose of the Jesuits, which was to counter the Protestant Reformation and to set aside the Protestants' teaching that the papacy was the Antichrist. He accomplished this by putting the first 3 chapters of the book of Revelation in the first century. The rest of the book, chapters 4 through 21, he put in the distant future. So it doesn't matter to dispensationalist churches what they believe about the end times, because they will be raptured before they happen. It has been almost 500 years since he wrote his book, which contains the strange futuristic doctrine. What was the kingdom like when Jesus was born? When Jesus was born, as the future restored king of Israel, in what condition was his kingdom? Have you ever thought about that? The house of Israel had no hope, were not circumcised, were cut off from the covenant, were in a divorce state, etc., along with many of the house of Judah who were taken captive along with them. They both had long been gone from the promised land that was given them by Almighty God. What about the remainder of the house of Judah? They were later, about a century and a half, taken captive by the Babylonians. Most of the pure-blooded people of Judah would never return to Jerusalem, but followed in the footsteps of the 10 northern tribes and migrated into other nations and eventually into the wilderness of Europe. But even after a remnant of the nation of Judah returned to Jerusalem from the Babylonian captivity, they practiced more miscegenation with the Canaanites. I refer you to Ezra and Nehemiah. This race-mixing process continued more and more until at the time of Christ, there remained only a very small remnant of the house of Judah with the pure-blooded Judah, Benjamin, and a small number of Levites. Dispensationalism never mentions that the house of Israel would be restored. In fact, they very seldom even mention that the house of Israel even existed. They fail to mention that they were divorced and that their divorce would not last forever. It would be one of the major reasons for the passion of Christ. For that is how the Lord God had to release Israel from the marriage law. And they are also oblivious about the remnant nation of Judah with its inhabitants of Jerusalem, that they were condemned never to be reestablished or to be a nation again. The houses of Israel and Judah that were taken in captivity centuries before would be restored, and the very small remnant of the house of Judah dwelling in Jerusalem that was controlled by the Edomites, with many of the mixed-race individuals who were living there, would be destroyed forever. But isn't that what the dispensationalists say will be restored? What God said would be destroyed forever? And the students of Ribera seldom, if ever, teach that the dominant ethnic population of Judea in the time of Christ were the Edomites, or Idumeans, who had moved into the ancient lands of Judea several centuries before the birth of the kinsman redeemer. The Edomite Jews from the time of Herod had gained control of the kingdom of God. Dispensationalism projects that since the Jews rejected their Messiah, they were set aside for a dispensation. That's dispensation number 6, the dispensation of grace. It's lasted for 2,000 years so far. In their place, Jesus the Anointed One opened the gates for everyone of every race to obtain the promises made in the Abrahamic covenant by being believers in him, by becoming spiritual Israelites. This is what they call the parenthesis or the institution of the church. This will end when the church is raptured and God will return and deal with his physical fleshly covenant seed once again, that is, according to dispensationalism, the Jews. Christian identity stands alone against dispensationalism and the rest of the multiracial church world. Even some of the pure-blooded members of the house of Judah, for example, Peter, cried out that he never knew the Messiah, were deceived into doing the wrong things either by fear of the Jews or by ignorance. But the pure-blooded ones shortly thereafter repented of their dire actions. There were not any members of the house of Israel and not many members of the house of Judah who were present during the crucifixion of Jesus in Jerusalem. Shortly after the crucifixion and resurrection and the acceptance of the sin offering made on their behalf, the house of Israel was no longer divorced. They were fully restored and they were given the kingdom of God. The kingdom was not taken from the Jews and given to the Gentiles, as dispensationalism teaches, but it was taken from the usurpers of the kingdom, chief priests and Pharisees, the Jews, who had taken the kingdom from the house of Judah, and it was given by God to the birthright kingdom, the house of Israel. Matthew 21:19. And when he, referring to Jesus, saw a fig tree, that's the Edomite-controlled kingdom of God, in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Do the dispensationalists believe that the bad fig, Kenite, Edomite Jews in Palestine today are a fulfillment of this biblical prophecy? Additionally, our Savior placed an everlasting curse on that proselytized, racially mixed nation. How can they say that this evil seed line that never produced any fruit is one of the two peoples of God? Do the dispensationalists say that the words of Jesus, let no fruit grow on thee, Edomians, henceforward forever, are not true? It seems that today's false preachers do, like John Hagee and other dispensationalists. They are incredible in their claims that they make about the Jewish nation. Many of the bad fig Jews, along with the racially mixed Israelites, were destroyed in a major battle of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Matthew 21:43. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. That's the chief priests and Pharisees. And given to a nation, house of Israel, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Two verses later, in Matthew 21:45, it says that the chief priests and Pharisees who knew that Jesus was speaking of them, what'd they do? After they heard these words, they sought to kill the Messiah. But they feared the multitude of the people so much that they waited for another time to murder him. Romans 7:4, wherefore, my brethren, ye Israelites, also are become dead to the law of marriage by the dead body of Christ, that ye Israelites should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, Jesus our Passover lamb, that we Israelites should bring forth fruit unto God. So what has the house of Israel done with what they were given? They were the people who had more churches, more revivals, more keeping of more of God's laws, were the keeper of the Bible, had the descendants of David as their kings, and was the center of Christianity. But after a long period of time, they lost their holiness and their separateness. 1 Peter 2:9-10, "But you, elect strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy." Many years previous, Israel had rejected Almighty God as their king after about 3 centuries and asked for a man king in his place. And they got them. But Oliver Cromwell beheaded one of the Lord's anointed and took over the British government. Soon thereafter, the British administration had a parliament that became the main ruler, with the Jewish monetary, the power behind it, with the royalty mainly a very expensive puppet. The United States said they didn't want a king. Look at the mess that they are now in. The process is repeating itself once again. The Jews have progressively gained control of all the nations of Israel as they had in the house of Judah over 2,000 years ago. What is going to happen next? The only hope that we have is our Savior and Redeemer to return and take over the kingship of his kingdom and rule with his laws once again. Drop on down to after the incarnate Son of God born, Miranda. After he was born, he became the Passover lamb for both houses. And then his death and resurrection provided for the reuniting of both houses. It had nothing to do with providing anything for the rest of the non-Adamites. The house of Judah in Jerusalem was destroyed, and the former destroyed house of Israel was given the kingdom from the usurping Jews. Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." What does this mean? From www.affirmisrael.org, we get the dispensationalists explain it thus. Quote, "Consider God's eternal plans and purposes. Remember that God chose the Jews to receive his law first, and his son came to the Jewish people first. The Creator planned for the gospel to come out of Jerusalem," end quote. But Christian identity believers say the word Jew should be translated the house of Judah. And Greek or Gentile should be translated the house of Israel. The mystery which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man, as it is now revealed by the Holy Spirit, that the house of Israel would be the fellow heir with the house of Judah, Ephesians 3:6. This was after a more than 7-century separation, 700 years. The gospel proclaimed by Jesus and his apostles was the gospel of the kingdom. Have you ever thought, what kingdom? It certainly wasn't the gospel of the kingdom of Babylon, or the gospel of the kingdom of China, or the gospel of the kingdom of Media Persia. It was the gospel of the kingdom of which Jesus used to be the literal physical king. It was the kingdom of Israel. But it was not a united kingdom at this time. The Old Testament dead of the Israelite kingdom were not in hell, nor were they with God. They were in a place of no punishment, purgatory, awaiting the atonement of a sinless kinsman who would be sacrificed for their sins. All the house of Judah had was a sacrifice of animals, but that was only temporary. The house of Israel was out this temporary gift for over 10 centuries. That's 1,000 years. But those who believed the northern house of Israel either died out or in some way ceased to exist must ignore the words that are given in Hosea. The people of the house of Israel did not cease to exist, only their nation. But the Apostle Paul says these two sentences in Ephesians chapter 2, and he repeats the same words that Hosea said in the Old Testament. First, I'll read you Hosea, then I'll read you Romans. Hosea 1:10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. That's referring to the children of Israel. Then the New Testament, Romans 9, 25 and 26. As he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where was said unto them, you are not my people, there they shall be called the sons of the living God. Therefore, the Apostle Paul would say the following at his trial with King Agrippa, Acts 25:7. Unto which promise are 12 tribes, not three, 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the wicked seed Judeans. Christian identity theology. The house of Israel were cast off from the covenant because of their sins, especially the sin of adultery, that is, interracial marriages. But God, in his truly infinite mercy, had a plan to redeem these wicked people. He loved them so much and wanted to make them clean again. But there was a major problem. How could it be done? If God remarried the house of Israel, he would be breaking his own law and he would be made a liar. In Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4, God's law says that if a woman is married and divorced and goes to be with another man and her second husband divorces her or dies, she can never go back to her first husband. Deuteronomy 24, 4, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that, she is defiled, for that is abomination before the Lord. And thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. When most people think of God, they probably never think about him being divorced. They don't even know he was divorced. The covenant God made with the Israel people at Mount Sinai through Moses was not unlike a marriage covenant that a man makes with his wife. The God of all the universe loved a group of people so much that he wanted to bind them himself to them in love, bless them, and keep them as a special treasure. What would happen if a woman's first husband died? Not the second, but the first, the one who divorced her. Would she then be released from the law of the first marriage? Of course, because he would be dead. So how is it that the house of Israel to remarry their first husband if they had other lovers or husbands. They couldn't remarry unless the Redeemer not only died for them, and they would be loosed from the law of marriage, but then be raised from the dead. Israel's second husband would be raised or resurrected, Jesus the Christ. Romans 7:4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. The children of Israel are the bride, and not the multiracial church. For the Lord God of Israel only prophesied these things concerning Israel. For example, in Revelation 21, it is stated that the city which descends from heaven is the bride, the Lamb's wife. This city represents Israel. For each of the 12 gates of the city have on them the name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Each gate has an angel guarding it, so that only a member of the tribe of Israel written on that gate would be permitted to enter that gate. The wall of the city has 12 foundations, each with the name of one of the apostles of the Lamb. The bride was Israel. Now my conclusion. When God came to the earth as the Son of God, the house of Israel was in a state of divorcement. It had been that way for over 7 centuries. The house of Judah wasn't much better. So how could the dispensationalists say that salvation came to the house of Judah first, then the rest of the world, and have nothing to say about the house of Israel? They were Israelites in the past and are still Israelites, but they are not of the house of Judah. The dispensationalists leave them totally out. I got another chart. Dispensationalist says, Israel, that's the house of Judah, they call them Jews. The rest of mankind, that's everyone except the house of Israel. Are they Israel or non-Israel? Israelites are saved by the Mosaic Law in the Old Testament. And then the church is saved by grace through faith in the New Testament. They still divorced? The house of Israel, are they saved by the law as the Jews are, or by faith only as the church is? No mention of them. Well, Christian identity theology, Israel, house of Israel, house of Judah, house of Israel, 10 tribes, divorced, scattered. House of Judah, 3 tribes, the remnant remains in Judah, the rest scattered. And reunites the house of Israel by his death and resurrection. The Jews are the seed line of Cain, Canaan, Rephaim, Nephilim, enemies of God. And the gospel of the kingdom of God was preached that the two houses be redeemed, and the Jews are doomed. The Jews, the descendants of the Kenites, Canaanites, and Idumeans have fought against Christianity for the last 2 millennia, against the people of God since the Garden. For the first 300 years, the Jews either persecuted the Christians or provoked the Romans to do it from without the Christian nation. Then the Jews brought in the Arabs and the Turks for about 1,000 years to fight against Christendom. This last age began when the power of the Roman Catholic Church ended over the kings of Europe. The Jewish Jesuits were formed to stop the influence of the emerging Protestant Reformation. The toleration of Jews and their readmission to England was largely born by hope of converting them to Christianity. This was closely followed by usury loans with strings attached made by Jewish bankers to the kings, and later to its citizens, followed by the creation of fiat currency. Once they achieved the chopping off the head of one of David's descendants on the throne of France and captured the Pope, they gained their emancipation from Napoleon. Since that time, the Jews have fought against Christianity from within the Christian nations, and the churches have all been compliant. The emancipation gave the Jews the opportunity that had held them back for over 1,000 years. They now were on an equal footing with everyone else. Slowly, the same procedure was followed by all the other Israelite nations. The Israelite nations became no longer separated, but integrated. And the nations are paying a huge price for disobeying the commands of their Lord God. The theme of the entire Bible was built around the marriage relationships of both houses of Israel and their Lord God. Their disobedience of his commands, their alienation from him, and their reconciliation to him in Christ. Nothing the house of Judah will be remarried in their risen, resurrected first husband. What great love our husband showed to us, his disobedient, unfaithful wife. He kept the commitments that he made to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob with his substitutionary death, shedding his blood on our behalf. To be continued, blessed be the Lord God of Israel.